Let's give it up again for our youth. God is doing great things in there. So anyway, I am excited to be here with all of you in the family service. For those of you who are parents and you're saying, oh, I hope no one notices my kid if he yells. Listen, they're all going to yell. It just is what it is. It's okay. As Stephen said, listen, when you get to heaven, you're going to see some screaming kids having fun. That's okay. I got my two right here. I guarantee my one-year-old's going to scream out. It's not going to be like a hallelujah shout either. It's going to be a scream out at some point, all right? So don't worry. I got him here just that way. It makes you feel a little bit more comfortable, all right? But listen, we are excited. It's July 4th weekend. It's a good holiday weekend, so we are pumped for you to be here today. As I said earlier, Pastor Josh, and he talked a little bit last week. He had to go to Florida for a funeral, very tragic situation that happened with a friend of his son. And they were supposed to fly back yesterday. And so the flight kept being delayed and delayed and delayed. And the last time I talked to him, he got to Charlotte at about like 1 o'clock in the morning, and he's still waiting on a flight there. So Pastor Josh, if you're watching, we're all going to caravan down to Charlotte if you don't have a flight, all right? We're all going to stop by IKEA. We're going to get some Swedish meatballs. It's going to be awesome, all right? So all of us in the caravan, we're all going to make our way down there. But I'm excited to be here, and I get to do something I've never done before in my life, and that is I'm going to preach someone else's message. So Pastor Josh sent me his notes, and so I'm going to try to do the best I can to do it justice because it's a lot of great stuff, and I know he had a very specific vision and a specific heart for this message. And today, we are talking about, you know, the commandment to honor thy father and mother. So, I know, ironic, right? We have all our kids in here, so everyone can hear that. But for those of you, maybe you're new, or maybe you've just started coming, or maybe you're just watching online for the first time, we've been diving into the Ten Commandments over this past summer. And the Ten Commandments, they're not, you know, a set of rules of you should not, because God's trying to be mean. It's God's trying to protect, and God is trying to lead you to life. And all the Old Testament law can be summarized in these commandments. But what's unique about this particular commandment is it's something, and maybe it's because of our culture. Actually, it is because of our culture that we don't really prioritize honoring your father and mother. We don't necessarily prioritize it. Think about the other commandments, you know, and we're all on board. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't have any other false idols. Don't commit adultery. We're all on board with that. But when it comes, it's like honor your father and mother. That made the top 10. And I think it's because, you know, some of us, I'm a 90s kid. I'm a good millennial, all right? I'm like on the older scale, the millennial scale. And those of you who grew up in the 90s or 80s, every single movie, show, everything that involved kids made the parents look as dumb as possible, right? Like it was all about getting, you know, these adults. If you used to watch Nickelodeon, it was all about how this was your channel and your parents are all dumb. They're watching the Weather Channel like a bunch of nerds. We're the cool channel. We were trained to believe that our parents were all dumb and we were smart, yet we were all living under their roof, right? Well, the Bible is it puts a strong priority on honoring your father and your mother. And why is that? Well, by teaching your children to honor your father and mother and to honor your parents, what you are teaching them is you're starting at setting a precedent to honor authority. Because guess who the first authority figures are in their life? It's you. I was never afraid of my teacher, like when I was in school. Never afraid. I'm going to give you a check mark on the board. Oh, big whoop. But when they said, I'm calling your mom, oh boy. Ain't going to do that. I had the pleasure of working in children's ministry for probably 13, 14 years. That was always the nuclear bomb. I'm getting your mom. Like, don't do it. You know, it's because you are their first authority figure. So it's important that we teach to honor because in their life, they're going to avoid a lot of different consequences, a lot of pain, a lot of heartache, and set themselves up for God's best when they learn early how to honor those who are in authority. And again, you are the one who is setting that precedent. You are the first authority figure. So our main verse comes from Exodus 20, verse 12, which we spent a lot of time in the book of Exodus this month. but simply says this, to honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And God set that up as a law because honor is supposed to be transgenerational. It's supposed to continue from generation to generation to generation. We are supposed to honor our parents. And then in turn, they will, in turn, we'll honor, you know, the honor cycle continues. We teach our children to honor so then that they can teach their children to honor. And then that way you can live a respectful life. See, honor, and Pastor Josh talked about this a few months ago, I believe, about the difference between honor and respect. Honor is something we freely give. Respect is something that is earned. So I know some of you are like, well, I don't honor, blah, 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 blah. Listen, that's respect, but we still honor. We still honor those who are in authority. We still honor them. It doesn't mean you have to be on board with every single thing. It doesn't mean you have to be okay with every single thing, every authority figure, whether it be your boss, a politician, whatever. But we still give honor where honor is due because God is the King of all, right? All right. Well, by teaching our children to honor, and by you as children, children you are in here, by honoring, you are producing a few things. Number one, you're producing faith. Honor produces faith. And it's another reason you must learn honor from a younger age. We got to teach our kids to honor because that helps set the foundation for faith. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 says this. We see it. Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He cannot do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. See, in this story, we're seeing a direct correlation between honor and faith. We are seeing a direct correlation. Jesus, the man who had the reputation for miracles, who he was performing miracles, you know, in and around the area, comes in, and what do they say? Hey, isn't that Jesus guy? I went to school with him. I dated his sister. And his brother, I know his brother. Well, hold on. They then neglected to honor, and because they neglected to honor, the faith diminished. And it says the miracles then were hindered due to people being obsessed over who they thought Jesus was supposed to be. And Jesus then goes straight back to, hey, All the prophets, the ones you talk about, the ones you hear about in the synagogue, the ones you hear the amazing stories about, they weren't welcomed in their hometown either. They weren't honored in their hometown either, and you just added yourself to that list. So honor produces faith. Faithlessness will continue to grow. Next, honor produces blessings. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3 says this, children, so this Paul is writing to the children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that I may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. See, Jesus kind of changed the norm when it comes to the people who follow God. We see this whenever he welcomed the children, that story of Jesus welcoming the children and the disciples are trying to shoo them away and he has to correct them. That was a big deal. Children were insignificant. Children were, you know, they're like, you know, the mini yous, that's it. Like, no. You're here to teach us Jesus. But Jesus then welcomed the children. So we see this, and now Paul is now writing to the children. He's making a specific, you know, has a specific audience for this passage. Children, that's a big deal. And so I don't know if they were excited to hear that his command was to obey your parents in the Lord, but he's telling them, obey your parents because this command is the only one of the 10 that comes with a promise. And as it, so I may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And that is another reason you honor your father and mother, because it leads to God going with you. It leads to blessings. Now, we see obey, that word obey as well. Now, when you are under your parents' roof, you obey. It just is. How many of us, those of us who are parents, those of us who've had parents, I believe that's everyone in this room, you've heard it said in your lifetime, as long as you're under my roof, as long as I pay the mortgage, as long as that car payment's in my name. Oh, I remember when my dad got me my first car. It was a 1987 Dodge Colt. It was a riding lawnmower with like a Hot Wheels car surrounding it. Right. And it had a luggage rack on it too. Awesome. The ladies were just flocking. And I remember him telling me, he said, "Son, the first time you get a ticket, the car's mine." I'm like, "Dad, I don't think I can get a ticket in this car." But I will do the best I can. Because I remember whenever I graduated college and I had no job, because when I graduated college, that was when the housing market burst, and I just thought everyone, you know, because I have a degree, everyone's gonna want, you know, me for their $60,000 a year job. That just doesn't happen, especially with a criminal justice degree and no prior experience, all right? So I remember he went and he co-signed on the car loan for it, because his credit was amazing and my credit was not really existent. And so he said, "Son, I'm just going to tell you this. The minute you ruin my credit, I'm going to kill you." I was like, "Message received. I will make sure to make all those payments." Because as long as I'm under that roof, as long as I am under that authority, I am to obey. Now, even though that is under the house, honor continues even when you leave the house. When you become an adult, do you have to obey your mommy all the time? No, probably not. She may have some good advice. She probably has some good advice. She has probably some wisdom there. But even though you don't necessarily obey, you still honor. You still honor your father and your mother. You carry that with you even outside of it. Because we have that responsibility to create a culture that honors. We can't be like the world. We can't be like 1990s Nickelodeon, all right? We can't be like, you know, the Macaulay Culkin movies. Any of you ever watched Home Alone now as a parent? I know, like, I said, well, if you watch it as a parent, you're like, "I'm not letting my kid watch this. He's going to call me a trout sniffer, and I don't even know what that is." But we're not doing that, all right? No, we have to be the ones who cultivate that culture, because Paul then goes on to write of the consequences of what it is to not honor authority. And again, one of the main goals of honoring your father and mother is to set that precedent in your life and set the precedent in your children's life to continue that honor throughout their lives to avoid stuff like this. Romans 13, verses 1 through 2. "Let everyone be subject to the governing authority, so there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves." Now, that Greek word "subject" means to submit without question to an authority, to a leader. So we're seeing this, where Paul is saying, he's writing this to the Christians. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about a time when Christians are being beheaded. We're talking about a time when it is illegal to know the word of God. So obviously, when it comes to deviating from God's standard of righteousness, there's obviously a difference there. But Paul is still saying, when you subject yourself to authority, or when you rebel against authority, you set yourself up for judgment. Now, consequentially, we go to Luke chapter 2, verses 51 through 52. Where it talks about when Jesus was a child and he subjected himself to authority, that then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. There's that word again, subject. But his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So we see the contrast. We see Jesus at a young age, a child. And Jesus, the fact that he was a child did not make him any less the Son of God. But he was subject to the men of Nazareth. And because of that, and because he allowed himself to be subjected, he grew. He continued to grow in wisdom. He continued to grow in stature and grow in favor. So we see here, those who are willing to subject as an honor to God, to the authorities, will grow. However, those who rebel against the authorities that God has put in place will bring judgment on themselves. Again, this is why it's important. And I know you're probably sick of hearing the word honor, but this is why it's so important that not only we honor, but that we teach our children to honor as well. Because having a lack of honor in your life and having that, you know, I do whatever I want, you know, attitude will only lead to heartache, will only lead to pain, will only lead to consequences. It's not wise. By teaching them to honor, it allows God to continue to bless you. And listen, and this is why I said about earlier, it's so funny to us now in the year 2022 that honor your father and mother made the top 10 list of, you know, of God's laws in the Old Testament. But that's just because we're looking at them through a 2022 lens. Because if I go to Exodus chapter 21, verse 15, the Bible says this. Now keep in mind this is Old Covenant, but that anyone who attacks their father or mother is to be put to death. And then I go two verses later. Anyone who curses their father or mother. I got my verses mixed up. 21:15 says, anyone who attacks their father or mother is to be put to death. 21:17 says, anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. Like, that's hardcore. There was such an importance there, because someone who is going to have no problem with attacking or cursing their parents is going to continue that toxic cycle. Now, we are under the new covenant. The Holy Spirit now writes the law on our hearts. But that doesn't negate the importance of honoring your father and mother. And you may be saying, like, wow, that's really extreme. You know, again, as a 90s kid, as a millennial, when I got sick from, and I stayed home from school, you know, what was the usual routine, guys? You got your ginger ale, you got your saltine crackers, and you got your Price is Right. That's what you did. But what happens when the Price is Right is off? Once Bob Barker. Then you get the trash daytime TV. And almost every single one of them had some episode where about rebellious kids. And they're all like, I hit my mom. I don't care. I do what I want. Oh, I cuss all the time. And then the mom's always like, I don't know what to do. My baby, you know. And then every episode's the same. They bring in like a drill sergeant who just yells at them, and you're going to stop. And then at the end of the episode, they all have like clean haircuts and they're all right and good and whatever. Not staged at all. But we look at that, and we look at that culture, that would not have flown in the early Old Testament. That would not have flown because God has a high priority for you honoring your father and mother. Proverbs 20:20 says that if someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Now, I know I mentioned that this is the Old Testament, but even in the New Testament, Paul specifically, and Paul didn't have kids. You know, it'd be one thing if Paul's like, I got to get these kids under control. I'm going to make this a spiritual law. No, Paul didn't have any kids. And he's writing, I'll give you just a couple examples. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is writing about the wrath of God. And including those people who are subjected to the wrath of God, he includes backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Those who are disobedient to parents are put in that same category as these others. 2 Timothy 3:2 says this, that people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. Again, disobedient to your parents is now lumped in the same category as these others. Paul makes it clear that to rebel against your parents is to rebel against God. It just is. Now, parents, I also want to speak to you a little bit here too. Now, it's important though for me to say, and it's important though for you to also acquire this too, that there is a responsibility for us as parents to be worthy of honor. It's a responsibility for our children to honor us. But it's also our responsibility to mirror God's standard of righteousness, God's standard of love, God's standard of compassion, forgiveness. It is important for that, because not doing that, ignoring those things, not living a godly life and yet demanding honor is not parenting, it's abuse. And God has some strong feelings about that as well. So it is up to us to hold that standard tight and make sure that we as parents, now those of you who are kids and you're like nudging your mom or dad right now, don't do that. Future you is begging you to please stop, all right? But parents, we have to hold that standard high. We have to hold that standard of righteousness, that standard of love. Live a godly life. Let the children see the Spirit of God operating in your life. We discipline. Don't get me wrong. We discipline. But we do it out of love, not rage, right? Lord knows I've had to discipline my children many times. And there are times where my wife will even sometimes, you know, sort of like, hey, let's remove ourselves from the situation. Let's calm down, because I'm kind of an impulsive person. But there's times where I'm like, you go to your room. Let me pray in the Spirit. Let me just go. Just go, because I need to not be irrational. I need to not let my flesh take control. I need to let the Spirit of God take control of this situation. And I need you to see that. And there are times where, even in my life, where I have no problem apologizing to my boys. And parents, you have to normalize that. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to screw up. You have screwed up. You've said something you shouldn't have said. You overreacted when you shouldn't have overreacted. You've lost your temper when you shouldn't have. We are all human. That does happen. But the important thing to remember is that obviously we seek forgiveness from our Heavenly Father, but we also normalize forgiveness in our families, because we are teaching our children to do that as well, to carry that on, to not be so prideful that you can't say, hey, son, I really should not have done that. I really should not have yelled at you. I really should not have punished you in this way. You know, this is why. This is why I did. Will you please forgive me? And I guarantee you, they'll forgive you. They may, you know, they're kids, so, you know, they may, you know, fight at us for a second, but they will forgive you, because your kids love you. They have a natural inclination to go under your authority. And finally, honor produces destiny. Deuteronomy 5:16 says this, that to honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land with which the Lord is giving you. Again, we're seeing sort of a repeat of that scripture from Exodus, that to honor your father and mother will lead to the Lord blessing you in your land. In Matthew 15, verses 1 through 18, we see this story again where Jesus is having to correct the religious leaders, because at this time they were also sort of ignoring the importance of honoring your father and mother and showing severe hypocrisy. But we read here that says, then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of your elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is, quote, devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are from me. See, honor takes more than just lip service. It takes more than just words. It takes more than just sending out a Mother's Day card or a Father's Day card or giving a shout out on Facebook. It takes more. It takes actual action. You honor with your action, with your deeds, who you are. You honor by doing that. Because we see this in this instance where the Pharisees were Jesus calling them out, where he is calling them out for saying, hey, you're over here telling people to take money that was meant for their mother and father and just say, oh, well, this is for God. and so you'll give it to me instead, so we'll give it over here instead. Basically scamming people, going out of the range of what God commanded with the tithe. That instead they were using that and using that to basically make the father and the mother poor. Said that's not how this works. You honor your father and mother. And finally, just sort of wrap up everything. I know this is kind of a little faster. I know we got kids in here too, and I know we get a little antsy, so I know we didn't want to keep you for too long. But I know that some of you right now, you've heard this, and you may even be getting a little mad at this message. And you could be saying, Pastor Adam, you don't know my parents. You don't know my father and mother. You don't know what they did. You don't know how they hurt me. Some of you right now, and that's Christian and non-Christian. There are bad Christian parents out there. Some of you probably have stayed away from church for years because of your parents. You may have just stopped coming or thought everyone was a hypocrite or whatever. And you're like, how do I honor that? And I understand. I understand the sleepless nights that you've had to endure. I understand the frustration. I understand the anxiety. I get it. I get how much that hurts. I'll give you a little example. And this is not, and this is all going to tie together. And I thought about this while I was praying this morning. I got like maybe 4 hours of sleep last night, maybe 3 or 4. And I'm going to tell you why. You may be like, oh, you were preparing this message. No, I wasn't. So it was prepared, but I'm just saying that's not what kept me up. I'm not a very confrontational person. I'm just not. If I have to be, I can be, but usually I'm kind of a pushover, just be honest with you. But if I have to be, I can be. And you know everything that's going on in the news today. You know about the Supreme Court decision. You know about Roe v. Wade. You know, we've already addressed this last week. It's nothing new. You've already heard about it. And I don't get, when it comes to social media, I don't get political. If any of you have ever followed me, you know Amanda will tell you, my most controversial posts are the dumbest posts in the world. Like about just dumb things to spur fun arguments so I can just, you know, look silly and that's it. I never post anything political. I just don't. It's just not really in me. And the reason why, I have a rule on social media, I will not engage you in a legitimate argument. And the reason why is no productive dialogue has ever come from that. It's just more entrenchment and what you believe. It's just attacking. Well, yesterday I'm sitting at home. I'm making it a point to take a Sabbath. You know, like as Pastor Josh talked last week, I'm like, I need to take a Sabbath. Took a Sabbath, and I get a notification from Facebook. And an old friend of mine from, like, I grew up with, I went to church with him growing up, went to high school with him. We were really good friends there when we were kids. He posted this thing on my wall that was very, very ugly to me. I have not talked to this guy in almost 20 years. We aren't like tight, all right? I have not seen him. I haven't talked to him. You know, he lives in West Virginia. I hope he does well. And that's what I told him. And he basically just posted some article about Roe v. Wade and just started to just say the ugliest things to me because I'm a Christian. And I was just more confused than anything. And so I showed my wife this. I said, this is what I'm going to respond with. And I responded. And she can tell you, because you know sometimes people will tell you like what they said in an argument, but like it's definitely watered down. No, I really said this. And I said basically something along the lines of like, hey, man, I hope you're doing well. I'm glad to hear that you got a family. I'm glad to hear that you got kids and you care and you're passionate. I said, but I'm going to tell you right now, I think you're wrong. I'm going to tell you also right now, you think I'm wrong. And no argument, no mind has ever been changed on a social media post ever in the history of anything. Said, I make it a general rule not to argue on social media because it doesn't lead in productive dialogue. But listen, I respect your opinion, and I just pray that you understand mine. Left it at that. It was very complimentary, very nice. He then shoots back, doesn't even address what I said, and just keeps it up with the attacks. I have not talked to this guy in 20 years. Keeps it up. I then respond again. Hey, man, again, I'm not going to argue with you. This is not productive. Listen, I'm glad to hear that you've grown up and you've done this and that, whatever. But said, hey, I wish nothing but the best for you. And that's it. He comes back again, does it again. at that point, okay, I'm done. And the reason I say that was I went to bed last night. I'm like, okay, I need to get a full night's sleep. I'm preaching tomorrow. I need to make sure I'm well slept. Like, I'm rested. I'm well, you know, whatever. And so, and I even showed like Pastor Josh, I'm like, can you believe this? This is crazy. Like, I cannot believe that I'm having this conversation right now. And then about 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up. And you know how sometimes you like wake up and your mind just goes to the weirdest thing that just keeps you awake? Like, hey, remember that time that you farted in the first grade and everyone laughed at you? And you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe people think about that. And then you're awake. That happened to me, and I wasn't angry. I wasn't wishing bad things. I want him to know Jesus. It has nothing to do. I mean, he was bashing my religion, said I was disgusting, said that, and I have not posted anything on social. He's just making assumptions. I have not posted anything, like, really, other than I shared one post from Dr. Tony Evans because he had a great post on explaining that and how we as a church need to step up. So I was awake until this morning because I couldn't quit thinking about that. And you said, Adam, what does this have to do to talking about your parents? I know many of you, listen, that's just one night. I'm going to be fine the rest of the day. I'm going to have lunch. I'm going to hang out at home, rest, enjoy my family. Some of you have not been able to do that for years because of how your parents failed you. This was just one instance with some guy I don't even know, have no relationship with. And quite frankly, I love what the rapper KB said. He said, hey, don't sweat criticism from people you wouldn't get advice from. Love that. If you want to write that down, put it in your bathroom so you always see it. Love that. But I'm like, I'm good. I know who I am. I'm like, I'm good. But some of you have been struggling with that for years and years because your parents have maybe failed you or hurt you. And that's where it's important. And I'm not going to negate what happened to you in your life. But it's important that you forgive. Well, they don't deserve the forgiveness. You're right. You didn't deserve God's forgiveness either. But he gives you the opportunity to forgive so you can be free. You choose to honor your father and mother. Doesn't mean you give a high five and say, hey, you know what? What happened? It's cool. That's all right. You just keep on doing that. That's fine. Doesn't mean you do that. But what it means is you're saying, you know what? I'm not going to hold this over you anymore. I'm going to choose to honor you. I'm going to choose to pray for you. I'm going to choose to love you. And I'm going to forgive you of what took place. I'm going to forgive you of that so I can move on with my life. Because I've had too many sleepless nights thinking about what you did. Instead, I'm going to move forward to who God wants me to be so I can be blessed in the land that he provided. Because by fixing that cycle of honor, you set yourself free, but you also set up the next generation to continue that. So it's important, guys, that we continue to have that culture of honor. Teach your children to honor while you honor as well. Kids, honor your father and mother. Parents, be someone worthy of honor. Right? All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you, God, that we can have this family service, that a holiday weekend's not going to stop us, that our kids get to be in here and hear the word of God, and we get to celebrate and worship with them. And Lord, we pray, Father, that you would help us to forgive anything that needs to be forgiven, help any obstacle that needs to be overtaken, help us to be able to have that culture of honor in our lives, in our family's lives, that we can honor those who are in authority and prevent anything, any consequence that could come our way in our future from not doing that. Now, when every eye closed and every eye closed, every head bowed, because we definitely don't want to leave today without giving someone the opportunity of knowing who Jesus is. So if you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus, you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, but you want to. You want to know him. You're not like, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of all this junk. I just want to know him. If that's you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, can you just lift your hand up really quick? Just let us know. And all you're saying is, Pastor Adam, can you pray for me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can put those heads down or hands down. Guys, as many of you, probably not shocked, many of you, probably can understand that we had some little hands go up. Because children, listen, that's why Jesus said children are so special. Children are just naturally hungry for him. Naturally hungry for them. They're excited for him. My kid gets excited to go to church. That's awesome. Thank God for our awesome children's program. Because I am so happy that he gets excited and pumped to go to church. So this is what I want us all to do. Let's, every single one of us, kids, adults, just repeat after me. And if you are in this room at the end of service and you need prayer, or if you need to find out more resources, our altar room is open. Go back there. Don't hesitate. Don't waste another moment. Go back there. But let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll have a couple more announcements, and then we'll be dismissed, all right? So everyone repeat after me, Jesus. There it is. Good. I don't even have to tell you to repeat at that time. That's awesome. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. And I turn away from all that bad stuff. Try to keep it easier for the kids. So I ask you to come into my heart and change my life forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, if you're a parent and you felt that little hand go up next to you, talk to them. Ask them about it. They will be so overjoyed with how excited you are for them, all right? So, guys, with that being said, I thank you. I know this is a different Sunday. I'm so thankful for you all being here. We just have a couple quick announcements. Just one announcement, and that's we got Bomb Pops. That's right, the popsicle of America is out front. Listen, get some for your kids, get some for yourself. Have a fantastic July 4th. Listen, we'll see you next week. Be blessed. Have a great 4th. Yeah, there you go.